Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in, and today we're joined by Josh Orndorff. Josh, how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. It's great to be with you all.
It's great to have you, and Josh is here to share his testimony with us today. Josh, just start out telling us about where you're from and about how you grew up.
Yeah, I'd be glad to. I'm from the Valley, grew up in Front Royal, Virginia. My father is a United Methodist pastor, retired now, and so he served there in Front Royal, and so that's always been a part of my faith journey, and so I'm grateful to still be here in the Valley in Harrisonburg now.
That's great. So you grew up, did you have siblings?
I do. My younger brother, Jordan, and I had a sister, Kelsey. She passed away in 2008 in a car accident. So we miss her greatly.
I'm sure.
But yeah, really grateful for my brother. Yeah. He's a big basketball fan like I am as well. So we connect over that.
So I think as we were talking earlier, you said your dad was a pastor. So you grew up in the church. Was he called early on or during your, do you remember that?
Yeah, so I was actually born in Atlanta, Georgia, when he was finishing up seminary. Okay. And his first church was there in Front Row at Riverton United Methodist Church. Okay. So I was 2 months old when we moved to Front Royal. So I've been a PK from day one, you might say. And so I got to grow up in the church there. My mom, Leanne, also worked at the church as the principal of the school that was there. And so just grew up at the church and came to love it for myself, just became a part of my story and still connected.
Yeah. When did you first, some people can look back and go, this is when I really got who Jesus was. Did you have a moment like that or has that, what's your story?
I just think it's been a journey of like continuing to learn to walk with Jesus and to try to walk closer and to open myself up to be shaped by the Holy Spirit. There are key moments and events in my journey, but there's not like that one moment where light bulb turned on. It was just a journey of just learning more and more about who Jesus is and who God made me to be and walking closer to him.
Do you have a moment as you think back, like when was the first time that you realized there is more than just this? Did not put that in the questions, but I would love to hear from you if you've had that type of experience.
I feel like it's just been a kind of ongoing journey of just like there's just more and more, and I still feel like even today I'm amazed at how much bigger God is and how powerful the Holy Spirit is and how the Spirit is moving amongst the church. It's easy to focus on some of the negative aspects of what's going on in our world, but there's just a continual movement of God that's still at work, and God is still working and creating. And so it's just humbling to see and be a part of that. I know from my own journey of like when I really began to connect with God, I have a prayer journal when I was seven. It's got a little teddy bear on it. And in it, I would write on my prayers. And one of the prayers was, Lord, what do you want me to be when I grow up? And I wrote, I wanted to be a pastor when I was seven. And so there's probably a part of me that wanted to be like dad, but it became very early on that I owned that call from God for myself. And, you know, as I think back on that, I don't know what's more amazing, that I wanted to be like dad and felt God's call at an early age, or that my mom had me writing in a prayer journal. So we're going to give mom lots of credit here.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah. And that, I think that's what I was asking. Like, you are communicating at seven with God.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
Because you realize at seven, there is something beyond what we see here. And you still have that prayer journal.
I do, actually. That's have it. So it's pretty amazing. It's humbling now to be a father. And my oldest, Julian, is 11, and he's writing in the back of his Bible when he has heard God recently in the past couple of weeks. And one of those first events was at the Order of the Flame with World Methodist Evangelism, who I'm blessed to get to work for now.
Yeah, that's great.
So you mentioned, Pastor Margaret asked if you had siblings, and you mentioned that you have a brother and that you also had a sister that passed away. So like what age were you? When did that happen? Anything you would want to share about
that? Yeah, that was obviously a very pivotal moment in my life. That was the day before I went back for my sophomore year of undergrad at Randolph-Macon College, my sister and I had been together the night before. We had been practicing music because it was Youth Sunday. And so she was actually going to preach, and I was a part of the youth praise band that we were a part of together. She sang, and I played the bass guitar. And she was going back to Fredericksburg Christian School to go to a Christian concert, see Chris Sly, and she was in her car accident where she hit a vehicle head on. And so, yeah, that was a terrible knock on the door from policemen to let my brother and my mom and dad and I know that my sister Kelsey was no longer with us. And so, you know, from that day on, you know, my faith definitely was rocked. I was angry with God. I struggled in the upcoming months to want to pray and to read the Bible and to be connected. But I came to realize as the months went on, as I continued my job, I was working with Teens Opposing Poverty, supporting homeless people down in Richmond where I was at school, that I was like, God is still good. Like, even in this terrible loss that my family has experienced, that none of us will ever be the same without Kelsey, that God is still good. And so one of the things that I hold on to now is that my sister was going to preach, as I shared on that Sunday. We don't have all the notes or what she was going to say, but the title was Passion for Christ, Passion for Others.
Wow.
And so I try to live that out. I try to live her sermon out each day that I can, and to invite other people to have that same passion for the Lord, but also a passion for serving others. You know, just in her, she was 17 when she died, just had begun her senior year in high school. And I just look back on some of the things that she was passionate about and how it wasn't just about her relationship with God, but it was about how she cared for and wanted to serve others. Mm-hmm. So we were on a missions trip with a Methodist church in Navajo Indian reservation, and we had free time. And so she said, let's go over to the hospital and let's go see if there's people that need prayer in sixth grade. So we walked over and she would pray for people. And so it inspired me to do the same. She was working on starting a nonprofit called Culpepper's Big Give, which that was where we lived at the time, just over the mountain from where we are now, where my dad was serving as the pastor there. And the idea was to get churches and businesses and community together to help people that were in need. Well, after her passing, we've worked to create a nonprofit in her memory called Kelsey's Missions, where we go out and we get communities to come together and to help folks in need. So we did some called Kelsey's Big Give. And so just anything I can do to continue to her legacy of faith and to be able to share the good news. I'm blessed in my work now with World Methodist Evangelism to travel all over the world and be with the people called Methodist. I was just with folks in India and the Philippines that are young adults. And so I got to share Kelsey's story there as an encouragement to them to live out their faith with passion and to be focused on how they can serve and care for others. Yeah. And so, as you can hear, Kelsey's been a big part of my life and my journey. I miss her greatly, but grateful for the impact that she's had on me and that she continues to have in my life.
It's amazing that you had those notes from the sermon, or at least the title, that become your mission to live that out. So did that impact your what you thought you were going to do at all? I know that you were serving, you were ministering already, but how did that impact you as a student?
For me, it really just brought into focus what really mattered and what didn't matter. And so I'm already a very intense person. I won those awards on my basketball and soccer teams in high school, most intense. So I'm already that kind of person. And so it just helped me bring focus to what was really important. And so it was actually the next summer that I asked Michelle, who's my wife, if she would marry me. And so we got engaged and ended up getting married before I even graduated college, because we had met when my dad was serving at the church in Culpeper at 15, and we were 21 at the time when we got married. And so it just helped me be laser focused on what mattered. In terms of my calling and the work that I wanted to do, I knew I wanted to be a pastor. I grew up in the United Methodist Church, and so that was the kind of avenue I pursued. When I went to Randolph-Macon College, I was in a pre-ministerial program that was helping prepare me to become a pastor and to go to seminary. I'd looked in a couple different seminaries beforehand, but the week before my sister died, we were at Duke University because that's where she wanted to go to school. She was a big Blue Devil fan. Go Duke, even though we just had a recent loss. Hopefully by the time this airs, maybe Duke will have had another win against UMC, and Pastor Kevin will not like that. But when she died that day, I said, I'm going to Duke. I'm going to seminary there. I'm not applying anywhere else. God opened the door for me to go to Duke. And then it was there that I started working with the youth at a church there in North Carolina. And so my heart was for youth, and particularly really had this sense of like, I want to be like Eli to Samuel to help young people hear that God is calling them by name and that God has a plan for their life. And as I graduated, came back to Virginia, and I got appointed in Front Royal, Virginia, which is where I grew up, to serve as the chaplain at Randolph-Macon Academy, which is a Methodist boarding school. It has a lot of international students, and I got to serve there for 8 years, and it was a real blessing to get to minister with young people from 6th to 12th grade from all over the world. And it was just humbling to see how God worked and moved, even in mandatory chapel services that people had to, to go to. And you know, eventually over time, we had over 66 students join the church, and I was blessed to baptize a dozen from every continent except for Australia and Antarctica. So, so that's just really blessing to see how God worked through that experience. Got very interested in leadership and ended up pursuing my PhD, which is at James Madison University. And I'm very close to submitting and defending my dissertation. Hope to graduate this May in the strategic leadership program at James Madison University, which is what's opened up doors for me to be where I am now with World Methodist Evangelism. I ended up becoming a part of the John Wesley Fellowship. They let me in, even though I go to James Madison. Everyone else is from like seminaries or theology schools. But I convinced them that leadership was important for the life of the church. And so I got to be a part of the John Wesley Fellowship and got to meet some just amazing people. And some of the folks I got to meet work for World Methodist Evangelism. One is the executive director, and the other, Rob Haynes, works with the academics section for World Methodist Evangelism. Kimberly Reisman's executive director. And out of that, I shared my research, which is on how people respond to God's call and are able to live out that calling faithfully, but also be well while they do it. And so then I got an invite to speak about calling, which I was like, yeah, I'd love to be able to speak about it. And they're like, well, it's in Fiji. And I'm like, well, I don't know if I can go to Fiji, but I guess someone's got to go to the ends of the earth. So of course I said yes to go to Fiji to get to speak. And from that, the Lord just worked and moves in a mighty way where I got invited to be the director of development with World Methodist Evangelism. So that's kind of the roller coaster journey of just trying to say yes to what God had next while I was at Randolph-Macon. I mean, I was just really blessed to work with young folks. And then while I was here at James Madison, I also served a church in Shenandoah County part-time. So I've had a lot of different experiences, from chaplaincy to pastoring to working in development, working with homeless people earlier on in youth groups. But so I just, for me, my calling has really been based on the prayer that John Wesley is attributed to him, called the Covenant Prayer, where it says, I'm no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I'm sure I missed one of those lines in there. But it's been a prayer that whenever I get to a moment where, like, I'm not sure what God has for me next, where God's leading me, and I truly get to that place of surrender, the Lord opens up the right door for me at the right time and place, and continues to provide for me and my family, and to just be able to live out that calling faithfully.
Yeah, the Lord is never early, but he's never late. You know, he's and just being able to walk in step with him. And that is John Wesley's prayer, is a beautiful prayer. And I was just thinking about your experiences have been in different areas, but for the church and any type of Christian ministry, all of the things that you talked about, whether it's pastoring, chaplaincy, working with the homeless, working with the youth, it's all important. It all needs to, you know, it's all a part of what he calls us to. And just the fact that you have that broad oversight of ministry has to be helpful.
I'm actually just realizing now as I'm talking, it's like, well, I've really done a lot of different things in almost all these different areas. And it's, again, one of those things that as I get to each season, I can see how God has been equipping me and preparing me, sometimes even in just the small things, to say yes to what's next. And I don't know where that road leads or what's next even, but I just want to continue to say yes and be faithful to what God is calling me to now. And I just, again, think the overarching theme is that, as I articulated earlier, that I felt like I wanted to be Eli to Samuel to help people hear that God is calling them by name and God has a plan for their life. That was what I was blessed to be able to do for almost 8 years at Randolph-Macon in the church setting. But now my research ends up being on calling and how to help people actually do that. And again, I'm just humbled by the ways that I'm able to do that. My research data comes out of Duke Divinity School, actually, because I met some folks that are running a study there to explore how seminary students can be well and to track them into their first 5 years of ministry. And so it's a real honor to get to do that. And it's just opened up amazing doors. And I'm grateful to be here at the Church of the Nazarene here in Harrisonburg because of the journey that I've been on. And so it's exciting of what God has in store.
Yeah.
Well, we've really enjoyed having you and your family. Share a little bit about how you ended up here at Church of the Nazarene, because I believe we have a mutual connection, a mutual friend, which speaks to how great God is, you know, how he knows us. And
yeah, I'd be glad to share that. So when I was in Cuba last year with World Methodist Evangelism, I wasn't an employee yet. I came to speak on calling. And while I was there, the doors opened up where I got my invitation to serve with World Methodist Evangelism as the director of development on a van ride back to the airport in Havana. So I didn't even have to do an application. I just got the job, and just it's real exciting to be a part of an organization that tries to bring together all of the Methodist Wesleyan movements that are happening around the world. It doesn't get focused in on the places where we have disagreement or division, but focuses in on all that we have in common. And so part of our mission is to see faith-sharing movements happen all across the world. And so it's humbling to be a part of that. And one of our main events that World Methodist Evangelism does is called Order of the Flame. It's for clergy, just to be encouraged and equipped for the work of evangelism that is needed across, you know, all the different denominations, but particularly kind of with a Wesleyan Methodist flavor, if you will. That's actually one of our resources, is Wesleyan Accent, and we invite folks. I'm trying to get Pastor Kerry to write for us. I think it would be awesome. Just being able to listen to him and his wisdom to be poured out to folks around the world would be amazing. So I attended that event in March, knowing that I was going to come on full-time in May. I was still a doctoral assistant in the Economic Development Office at James Madison. So I wanted to attend the event knowing that this was going to be a key place for me to meet people and to be able to promote what we do. And while I was at the event, we had 9 different Wesleyan Methodist traditions present: UMC, GMC, United Methodist, Global Methodist, African Methodist, Episcopal Church, CME, AMEZ, Wesleyans. And so it's just really amazing to be in a space where we can be united in a time where there's some division within the Wesleyan Methodist family. And it was humbling to be there and to see that focus, to see that passion. So one of the folks I met was Tim Fox, and I was sharing where I was from, Harrisonburg. And he mentioned the Church of the Nazarene because he at one point was in a training program with Pastor Kerry. And so he recommended the church. I had been in a season where, because I left serving the church that I was at, and we were kind of looking around at different churches and churches that would be a good fit for my family. I've got 4, 11, 9, and 5 and 3. So Julian, Orion, Melissa, and Titus. And so that's we just really wanted to find a church that was a good fit for our family. And we tried a few. And so I watched one of the services online. Pastor Billy was preaching that day. And I was like, oh, there's some good Wesleyan theology happening here around some sanctification. And I was like, I can get on board for that. I also coach in what's called the Sanctification Network as well. And so I was really kind of excited to hear the preaching and to see, like, all right, let's go check this out. And so the first Sunday that we came was back in May, so it's not been quite a year since we've been here, but the focus was on carrying the mat because the men had just been on a retreat, and it's about bringing people to Jesus. I'm like, well, I can get behind that because I work for World Methodist Evangelism, and the Church of the Nazarene is a part of that Wesleyan Methodist movement, and it has different offshoots, a different way, but it comes kind of from the holiness branch of that. And so I was like really excited to learn more and to connect. And so it's just been really wonderful being here. We're really grateful for the team, especially that focuses on the kids. I haven't felt as a pastor myself, and having some of the things that my family have gone through with the kids having some injuries and different things, we've been really loved on, and so we're really grateful for that. And so just we're really grateful to be a part. Been trying to attend men's Bible study. It's really early on Tuesday mornings at 6 a.m. It's a wonderful time. There's some real holiness going on there. There's over 30 men there, but it's really early. So I make it when I can, but just really excited to be a part of what God's doing here. God's doing a lot. And we come in a little later sometimes than I would like to on Sunday mornings. And there's rarely room at times, which That's is right. what a wonderful thing. And that was not the case even from my perspective back in May. We've always been kind of late. So that's been a consistent thing, but there's less and less seats because more and more people are here. And that's really exciting to see. Yeah.
Yeah, I say that the collective height of our church has grown since Pastor Kevin showed up. Lots of coaches and lots of college students coming in. Our height, I'm in the lower part of that height these days. Some people have to actually duck to get in.
Yeah, front door. With the JMU basketball team coming. Yes, yeah. That's definitely true.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is amazing as the church continues to grow. And, yeah, like you said earlier, things aren't great everywhere in the world, but God is still at work.
Definitely.
And I think about in the Old Testament, God would call the children of Israel stiff-necked people because they were looking around, right? And he wanted them to look up. And if we do look up, God is at work, and I'm watching it, like the transformation that is continuing to happen. And so it's exciting to be a part of the church and to hear your story. I love your enthusiasm. And so tell us about Order of the Flames. Can you tell us, like, what does that event look like?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. So Order of the Flame, this is actually the 30th year it's going to have taken place. And we do them not just in the U.S., but around the world. And it's just a place where we bring together our Wesleyan Methodist family, particularly pastors and their spouses, which I particularly love because of just focusing on the partnership that's there. I was blessed to see that in my mom and dad. And to live that out with Michelle, it's just extremely important. So to be able to invest in that for our pastors is a real blessing. And it's a nomination process for pastors to come. So as I've shared, I've nominated some of the pastors here, and Michelle has as well. You have to either have attended or be one of the leaders in the church denomination. Mm-hmm. There's, as I'm learning more about the nominations, there's lots of different titles, whether it's bishop or conference superintendent, but they get to nominate people. And we bring people together and we focus on our mission evangelist framework, where we have different areas where people are able to be equipped from teachers, again, that come from all the different traditions. Mm-hmm. I think we had 8 represented in our speakers last year. And we just focus in on different aspects of evangelism. And we have amazing worship services, wonderful preaching. We even get to go see where John and Charles Wesley actually went and preached themselves there in Georgia. Wow. So that's a really cool opportunity as well. And we just hope that people leave inspired to do the work of evangelism. Mm-hmm. In their churches, but also we hope to partner with us so we can do more Order of the Flame events.
Yes.
And our other events, we have Metanoia, which focuses on young adults, and a Unity in Mission Seminar, which is for the whole church,
okay,
clergy and laity. And so we will do multiple events throughout the year in different places. And without support of churches and individuals, we can't make that happen this upcoming year. We've got plans just within a calendar year. We've got plans to be able to go to Congo and to Zimbabwe to be able to work there. We hope to also go to Indonesia and hopefully New Zealand as well within the next year to do those different types of events, whether it's Order of the Flame, Metanoia, Unity, and Mission. But really just the unifying theme is that we just want more people to be inspired to be able to share their faith and to be equipped with that. And so whether it's pastors being able to teach their people or whether it's young adults feel emboldened themselves to live out their faith and share their story. We're really passionate about that. And so I'm humbled to be on that team with amazing, amazing people. Yeah. It's just a real blessing.
What would you like to share? You talked a little bit about your family, but anything you'd like to share about your family?
Yes, I was hoping to get more of an opportunity to share a little bit about them. I'm just really blessed by all my children. But one of the stories that is really unique, that's been a wonderful blessing, is the story that Michelle and I and my family went on to be able to adopt. Our youngest, Melissa, is adopted from India. And one of the things that's really unique, I told you earlier that I was very focused. And so when Michelle and I started exploring dating, one of the conversations we had was I shared with her, I wanted to be a pastor. So I wanted her to know. So if she felt a calling or that she could be supportive in that, that she knew ahead of time, because it's not easy work, because I've seen what that looks like as a pastor's kid myself. And she said, well, I'm for that, but I want you to know that I want to adopt. And so if you're not for that, then we don't need to go any further here either. And I was like, okay, well, I'm on board. And so that was us at 16 having that conversation. Adoption's been an important story in her family in particular. Her youngest 2 brothers are adopted. And so that was just something that we knew just as much that as God was calling me into ministry, God was calling us into this journey of adoption. It's very clear if we read God's word that God's heart is for the orphan. God's heart is for those that are lonely and down. And what a gift it is to be able to just love on a child. We didn't necessarily explore international adoption originally. We just were open to what God had for us. And then one of the things that we settled in on is that we just really wanted to adopt a child that won't have another option to have a family. And so that led us through prayer and discernment to India. And it was a very, very long process. We started the application in May of 2021, and we didn't bring Melissa home until December 2023. So that was a very long process, lots of ups and downs, a lot of faithfulness from people supporting us, and a lot of persistence and a lot of paperwork. But it's truly humbling that when you step out in faith and do what the Lord is calling you to do, God will provide as he provided for Michelle and I and our family in this. And we just want to encourage the church in general, like, if you feel that the Lord puts it on your heart to care for an orphan, a child, or maybe even it's a widow. I mean, this is what true religion is, as it says in James, that this is what we are supposed to be about. That God, if God puts it on your heart, say yes to it, and God will support you all along the way. You'll have church family, hopefully, that will support you as well. But we as a church just need to be more focused on being able to help children in need. This is the call of the gospel, and I just am really passionate about it. And I've been extremely blessed in my own life. It's taught me so much about God's grace and how God loves me. And I mean, the fact is we're all adopted.
That's right.
We're all adopted to be sons and daughters of God. Mm-hmm. And so to actually get to experience that in a family setting is a real blessing. We're grateful for the church for the support as we bring her here and help Melissa get to learn and grow in her faith as well. And so I'm just honored to be able to share more about her. Really grateful for Michelle and her heart and her passion for that invited me into that journey. But it became a call for me as well. And again, if God puts that nudge on your heart, I just encourage you to say yes to that, whether that's through fostering, whether it's through supporting a family at church that looks like they have their hands full, because if it looks that way, they do. And so, you know, I just want to encourage folks to surround those families so that way they can be loved and supportive as well. But if it is to adopt, whether here in the U.S. or internationally, just say yes, and God will come alongside of you. It's really important that we do that work.
Yeah. Thank you for doing that. You know, I know that, like you said, it's been a long journey, but just the call to engage, and it's not the same for every one of us to do the same thing, but there is something for every one of us, right? A way that we can give back and minister, whether it's a widow or a child. We know personally what that call is, and when we hear it, it is important that we say yes to that.
God calls us in a variety of things. You don't have to be a pastor. It might not be to adoption. It can be in a variety of spaces. Sometimes it's tied to work. Sometimes it's not. And so I just, you know, encourage folks that are seeking to be able to be beacons of hope in the world to just be open to those promptings from the Holy Spirit. And that can happen in a day-to-day journey, whether it's to say hi to someone at the grocery store or to just offer a word of encouragement to a friend you haven't talked to in a long time, is to be able to lean into those. And yes, sometimes those become bigger things, right? But it's in the small things a lot of times that God is equipping and preparing us for what's next. Just like when David was able to stand before Goliath, that was not the first time he had used a slingshot, right? He was well-skilled and well-equipped just doing his day-to-day task of being a shepherd, preparing to protect the flock from lions, from bears, like he had already done. And so it wasn't even so much like, yes, God is amazing. God stood with David. God helped him be able to have victory over that. But God had been preparing David all along the way. And so I think it's important to not lose that part of the story as well, that there's a preparation and equipping that's happening all along the way with each of those small yeses. So when we do get to a spot that seems like a bigger yes, we can go out in confidence with the Lord. I've also been watching the movie David many, many, many times with my children in the past 2-3 days, the one that just came out from Angels. Yes. So that's probably why David's on my mind, but I just wanted to share that word of encouragement for folks as they seek to be able to be hope to folks.
Josh, thank you for joining us today. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us, maybe that we haven't asked you already or that you haven't shared already?
I'm just really grateful for the opportunity to be able to share part of my story, and just hopes that people hear their own stories and God's faithfulness there. I'm very grateful for the Church of the Nazarene here and Pastor Kevin and the whole team. I'm grateful for the support that they've given to our family, and just really want to encourage folks to get involved and find ways to support folks that really do need to know of God's love and grace. It doesn't have to be some big, bold ask. It can just be being in relationships and conversations with people to just be ready to be able to embrace people and to be able to share the love of Jesus with people. That's really what we focus on a lot at World Methodist Evangelism, which I'm so grateful to be a part of and to be able to be here. And so thank you so much for having me be a part of this.
Thank you for joining us, Josh. It's been great to have you. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I pray that as you've heard Josh Orndorff's testimony today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.